Welcome back to Camden Clark Medical Center's Community Health Watch here on News Radio 910 WLTP. I'm your host, John Chalfant. Tonight, our topic is the Ames Fire and Community Health. Our guests are Dr. Abby Khalil, who is board-certified pulmonary and critical care with critical care medicine at Camden Clark Medical Center. Also, Susan Abdella is director of emergency services at Camden Clark. We've been talking about the Ames Fire and its potential issues that it's causing. And again, Dr. Khalil, one of the things this area and people in this area suffer from is the chronic breathing diseases like COPD, bronchitis, those types of diseases. That really is why I would imagine many people, as you said before, suffer from the irritation, and an event like this can really cause them some issues. Correct?
Correct.
Well, when we talk about this, are there some things that people can do? Obviously, the outdoors is a big concern when people go outdoors, but many times maybe they go indoors. Are there things that maybe could be the same indoor, outdoor that can help prevent their chances of smoke inhalation?
Sometimes using just a simple face mask might not solve the problem 100%, but will decrease the risk of getting all the fumes and the dust that going down to the lungs. Some of the particles in this smoke, the size of the particles varies. There is a small, there is a medium size, there is a larger ones. By using the simple face mask, you can minimize inhaling the bigger size, larger and medium size, which when they go down into the lungs can cause irritation, cause the same symptoms. Mm-hmm. But it is not possible with those masks to prevent all the smell coming, but will decrease. Sometimes the amount of inhalation you're getting matters. The larger amount you inhale, the risk of exacerbation increases. So you can use also the masks if it's necessary to go outside for whatever reason.
Right.
So that can be done.
Mm-hmm. You know, when this event first happened, and especially I think as people saw it happening on Saturday, people were concerned, I think, and all of us kind of saw the smoke clouds, and it was, you know, Saturday was a very nice day other than the fire, but it was a day the wind kind of took the smoke, and unfortunately looked to me at least like it was spreading it over a very large geographic area. Then as the weekend ended, the rains came, and especially yesterday on Monday of this week, when you're hearing this, but on Monday, then the rain came, and people thought, well, you know, here is an opportunity for it to help with the fire. However, it maybe had a consequence that maybe people didn't think about at first. It was like a maybe good news, bad news situation, Susan. It kind of made it all come a little bit closer to home, I guess you might say.
Rain started, it started pushing that smoke cloud down on everyone. When that smoke cloud came clear down to the ground level, it was like laid in like in low-lying areas like a fog would.
Right.
And then it made it harder for it to dissipate because that chemical is lighter than air.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore it wants to go to the highest point, but if it can't get away, it lays there and then you breathe it more, which yesterday we seen a spike in the number of patients presenting to the emergency department with respiratory symptoms because it was closer to the ground where they were breathing it more versus it being higher altitudes.
That's something probably that people did not think about, and kind of, I guess, in a way, unfortunately, gives a lesson on how the rain and weather can affect not only pollutants like this, but also how it affects pollen, people who are subject to asthma and allergies, especially those items that are, in some way natural, but are out there all the time, especially when you think of the pollen and different weeds and different things like that, how they can be affected by weather events that maybe you don't think about as much. Right. Do you see that in your practice as well?
Yeah, we see that a lot with the weather change. And actually, most asthma COPD patients, they do know with the weather changing, some of them actually, they try to stay home until the weather gets better. Mm-hmm. So we see that variation with the seasonal variation with the weather change, especially with the spring and some people actually with the summer, mm-hmm. some people with cold. It's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. But patients tend to know what kind of weather change bring those symptoms, and they try to minimize. And it works for most part.
Sure. As we look down the road a little bit, eventually the fire will be out. The debris will be cleaned up, taken out and taken wherever it is. I would certainly hope, and the optimist in me says, will it be safe to go outside again? But at the same time, would there be a recommended waiting period, or will we be finding out about that maybe as this continues, that people will still feel the effects or maybe smell the effects of this fire even at some point down the road a little bit?
I think this is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to find out what kind of chemicals we're exposed to. So this is going to be an ongoing process to be seen. I don't think it's very difficult for anybody at this time to say, you know, after 1 week, after 1 month, after 3 days. I think we need to find out what kind of chemicals identified, and the weather, how it's going to be the coming days. So there are so many cofactors come into play to predict. But all I can say is people need to be cautious.
Yeah.
Because this is an ongoing process.
You know, when you talk about that, there are a large number of people that are suffering with COPD and the different types of asthma or other lung diseases. Obviously, that's got them concerned. The caution, erring on the side, and I think this was said very early on, to err if somebody is suffering from these diseases, and I would imagine Dr. Khalil, your advice would be as well, be cautious, err on the side of caution if somebody's in those situations.
Absolutely. We have lots of COPD breathing problem in this area. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are... depending what year, we're top three when it comes to COPD and breathing problems in the whole United States. So for some patients with a breathing problem, one inhalation of a smoke, mm-hmm. might end them in a hospital, sometimes even on a ventilator. So they need to be very careful. Listen to their body until everything is clear to be careful. If you don't feel well, if you don't, something it doesn't feel right, to get medical attention unless it's necessary in the coming few days. Try to stay more time at home. Mm-hmm. Will be my advice.
Any other recommendations, and these may apply even if there's not an Ames fire going on, or kind of thinking about so many different risk factors that are out there to help prevent some of these lung diseases from getting worse. And one of the things that obviously comes to mind is people who have smoked or are currently smoking. That seems to be a common theme on our programs about how to improve health, but I would think somebody who is a smoker would have a susceptibility to these diseases as well.
Correct. So if you look in the whole world, you know, the number one cause for COPD is air pollution. Mm-hmm. If you go to China or India, the rest of the world, COPD is caused by air pollution. But for us, we made a big progress in the last 40 and 50 years. The air pollution problem, we make a big improvement. Mm-hmm. So for us, a big cause for COPD is smoking.
Right.
So I want to take this opportunity for people who are still smoking to quit smoking, and there are we have at the Camden Clark different means to help people to quit smoking, whether it's counseling or medication. It's available. Smoking is one of the very difficult thing to do to quit smoking, but it can't be done. Mm-hmm. You know, you're decreasing your risk of lung cancer, in heart disease, and other things. So this is a good opportunity for you know, people who smoke to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what someone should do, especially, and I think they're already doing this the way Susan you explained it. But it seems if because of the Ames fire, if they see their conditions getting worse and they're not doing anything different in their own lifestyle, like Dr. Khalil said,
come in.
Yeah.
Let us take a look at you. Let us make sure that you're getting the right medical care that you need, that there's not something else going on. Sometimes there's underlying symptoms. Remember that it took only a few days to get feeling really bad with this stuff, to get the irritants in your lungs and right. your throat and your eyes. But it's going to take a few extra days to get over it. It takes a little longer for the body to heal mm-hmm. after it's been irritated.
And it can be, it needs to be treated as early as possible.
Correct.
As well.
And as we do this, you know, our key is make sure you stay inside and control how much air you're bringing into your home that's from the outside. Mm-hmm. Control, you know, that you're covering your face when you go out, you're with a mask. And then for us as an organization to make sure that we're helping with it, the hospital is actually working on a plan to do pulmonary function testing screenings for our first responders that have been on the scene.
Right.
So Gina at the marketing department will be getting more information out to everyone about how to take advantage of that if you've been a first responder on the scene.
Yeah, and they can, so if they've been there, just be looking for that information.
Absolutely.
Through social media, as I understand
yes,
it, as well.
They're going to post it through our social media on our Facebook page at the hospital. And so it's very exciting that, you know, we're trying to be that person to take a proactive approach for our first responders. They've worked very hard to get this under control and protect our community. So we have to do our part.
Yeah, well. Absolutely. And again, look for that information. They're going to be free. And so obviously very important information for those first responders who may be concerned about what the fire and the smoke may have some effect. Dr. Khalil, as we wrap up our program, obviously there are some things in people's lifestyles, as you said, and I thought kind of an important thing to mention. The Ames fire was something that happened. Nobody planned on it happening, obviously. It was something that is a disaster still going on as we speak and record this program. But the aspect of it is to know that there are resources out there. Don't necessarily expose yourself to those conditions. Correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have lots of resources to help with this situation. If you have any symptoms, don't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Seek medical help. It's available. The Camden Clark is ready to help. So don't wait.
And Susan, Abdallah, again, I think you just said it recently, but it's kind of been the theme throughout the program tonight, talking about the Ames fire. Know that Camden Clark Emergency Department is there and ready to assist with Middle Ohio Valley residents in whatever way you all can and what they need help with, correct?
We are. We're there for our community. We are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have full staff, and they're ready to help take care of our patients. So it's important for us.
All right. Well, I'm sure this is a story that is developing and will continue to develop even as we speak and talk about it here on our program for the first time about the Ames fire and community health. And we want to thank our guest, Dr. Abby Khalil, who is board-certified pulmonary and critical care medicine at Camden Clark, and also Susan Abdallah, director of emergency services at Camden Clark. Thank you both very much for being on the program and sharing your knowledge and information. Thank you. And we invite our listeners to join us every Thursday night at 6 for Camden Clark Medical Center's Community Health Watch. Until next Thursday, I'm John Chalfant. Have a good week, everyone.